Welcome to Energy Law Roundup, your comprehensive weekly briefing on legal news and developments in the energy industry from Texas and across the country, always in 30 minutes or less. And now, your host for Energy Law Roundup, business litigator and oil and gas trial lawyer, Tom Charlone.
It is the week of January 8th, 2018. Happy New Year. Again, my name is Tom Charlone. I'm a litigation partner in the Houston office of Kane Russell, Coleman & Logan, where I serve as the head of our firm's energy practice group. In this week's episode of the podcast, we're bringing you the second in a multi-part series of presentations that our practice group recently made to the Association of Corporate Counsel here in Texas on a variety of key and emerging issues impacting the oil and gas industry. Andrea Johnson, or AJ as we call her, serves as a director in the Houston office of Kane Russell, and she focuses her practice in employment law. She's going to talk to us today about protecting trade secrets in the oil patch and beyond. AJ has been practicing law for over 30 years, has been a Texas super lawyer in employment law for 10 years in a row, and has also been recognized as one of the best lawyers in America. For clients that range from international to the local, AJ provides day-to-day advice and has tried numerous cases and class actions in both federal and state court, as well as in arbitration. She frequently represents oil and gas and energy service companies on all issues touching upon employers and employees, such as the Fair Labor Standards Act, non-competes and non-solicitation agreements, reductions in force, WARN Act issues, general employee discipline and counseling issues, leave rights and responsibilities, Texas state employment concerns, and all manner of compliance under Title VII, the ADEA, the FMLA, and the ADA. I've been practicing law with AJ for the better part of a decade now, and I can tell you she has a straightforward approach to her work and her clients. She always seeks the most expedient and effective way to resolve matters and to find the best path forward for clients through prevention and training protocols with the aim of avoiding litigation entirely. AJ, take it away.
Thank you, Tom, for the introduction. I really appreciate it very much. I don't think I've heard as many initials in one introduction as I heard in yours. Now, the initials I have from AJ, I'm originally born as Andrea. I came here from California as soon as I could after graduating from law school. Married a Texan, went to my first law firm, and boss called me AJ, and it's stuck ever since. It's worked for me. All right. So we're talking about, enforcing, and all these great things, really important things that Chip pointed out, do make a big difference. And make a difference when we do go to the courtroom as well. Trade secrets. Okay. I'm going to go back one. And the question is, are we sharks or are we chum? Okay. Our employees have left, or employee. And the question is, what are we going to do? How are we going to protect our trade secrets? Or are our trade secrets going to become shark chum for our shark competitor just down the street? You may come in now, sir. There we go. We're going to be talking in the last few minutes that we have in our little segment here about some of the, I'd say, treetop expressions. Our interests that we have, and we're talking about enforcing non-competes and enforcing our trade secret rights. I also want to spend a couple of minutes with you about a statute that's of importance in this area, and two cases came down in 2017 you'll want to think about as you're going through trade secret enforcement. And the statute we're going to talk about a little bit is the Texas Citizen Participation Act. A big mouthful, gets down to WARN initials, TCPA, or affectionately called anti-SLAPP. I have an anti-May, but I don't have an anti-SLAPP. Anyway, the employee has left. What do? Well, the first thing we're going to do is what you guys do, what you do best internally in talking to your operations people, which is prepare the way, follow our protocol, bring in the equipment that we need, get those passwords back. But AJ, everybody here knows that. Oh, really? Let's talk about Atlantic Marine, a case of only 2 years ago. 2 years, 2015, technology hasn't changed that much. We had thumb drives back then. What did this executive employee do? a vice president of this large construction company from the East Coast. Nothing. He didn't do anything. He left. He had his retirement party. He left, but actually he didn't retire. He went down the street to a competitor. Except the next day, he remoted back into the company through remote access that he had. Believe it or not, an application that he had put onto the computer prior to leaving. Was it against company policy? Yes, of course it was. Did he do it anyway? Yes, he did. Did they clean his computer before he left? No, they did not. Yeah, kind of strange, right? Could have done the easy thing out, but these are the standard operating procedures we need to follow. Things that Chip talked about, confirming with people, signing the acknowledgement that they've returned the property, that they're going to follow the promises they made and the confidentiality agreements that we give them. All right, we've done all that. We've now secured, we've got everything internally, and we still have suspicions that Mr. or Mrs. or Ms. has left our property with trade secret information. What are we going to do? We're going to go to our litigators and we're going to talk about evidence, because that's what we're going to need when Chip or I or any litigator that you're hired goes down to the courthouse for your company. What is the evidence? Have we looked at the emails in the past 6 months to see what's been shipped home? Have we hired perhaps an outside forensic expert to look at things that have been downloaded to little drives about this big or even smaller? Have we looked to see if records have been deleted? All these things we're going to do, because the stronger our case is evidence-wise, the better we're going to do in front of those courts that we're in front of. But AJ, I don't necessarily want to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on a lawsuit with somebody and trying to get an injunction. All right, that's the risk-benefit analysis we have to go through. I'd rather send a letter. Maybe I'll send a reminder letter. That's fairly weak. But I'm going to send a cease and desist, that's all capitals in bold, underlined three times. Cease and desist letter. That will be less expensive, so that's maybe an advantage to us, but maybe the risk that we have involved, and Jennifer, you keep me good on time, right? The risk we have involved is it's going to be what I would call the long goodbye. Here it ends with, dear John, it's over in a letter, okay? But the long goodbye, meaning that it may take us weeks and months to get, thank you, weeks and months to get the information that we need, to actually look at the computers through some kind of negotiation with this person who's left that we have suspicions about. It can be done. Those are the risks, the disadvantages, and the advantages of maybe going a letter versus a lawsuit. So when we're considering a lawsuit, we're going to look at our evidence. How strong is it? What are the trade secrets? Who's the person? Where are they going? We may think about the principals within our company, because those of us that have to advise on the basis of employment law know that for every step we take, what happens? There's a ripple effect, because we have hundreds of employees. We may have thousands of employees that every decision we make makes a difference to them. And we have to think about costs, like experts to analyze and review the data we have. We breezed through that. We got it down, right? Now let's talk about maybe a slight roadblock we've got to get around. The TCPA, Texas Citizens Participation Act. And you'll notice I've affectionately called this a gorilla in a baby's pram. Part of your materials is an article I wrote concerning the two cases that came out in 2017, if you want to read a little bit more depth. What I mean by that is anti-SLAPP means strategic lawsuits against public participation. Why are the acts here? About half the states in the country have it. And then what do? Protect the First Amendment. Our right to do what? Freely speak. Associate with others. Those are all great things. Hooray, hooray, hooray. And also because we want to reduce lawsuits. Reduce costs. That's what the statute does. Those are great things. Mom, apple pie, and a beautiful baby and the American flag. I see it all now. And the lawsuit here in Texas has further teeth. What does it do? The claim that is offending the Texas Citizens Participation Act can be dismissed immediately. Within 60 days is when you've got to file your motion. And on top of that, we love this, don't we? We get our attorney's fees back. Hooray! Except the baby turns out to be... in some instances, the gorilla. And what do I mean by that? In the context of trade secret litigation, take a look at the Elite Auto Body case. Okay? Typically, in these trade secret cases, if you have more than one employee, people soliciting employees and so on, what are they doing? Talking to each other. Talk. They're spreading rumors. They're spreading information about what? Our confidential trade secret information. The Austin Court of Appeals says just talk is insufficient. Just talk violates your right to do what? To talk freely. Your right to have free First Amendment rights. To associate with others. Ex-employees from Elite Auto Body left. And we're talking to each other at the new employer's place of business, believe it or not. They were soliciting employees, that we believe, I guess. And the court said that portion of the case dismissed. That means they're going to get part of their attorney's fees back in bringing that motion. Is this crazy? But the law says this. You may not be able to read it here. If you can't, I think our materials will be available perhaps online. It protects the right of free association, free speech as to a matter of public concern. Okay? What does an employee leaving an employment have to do with public concern? You will find out, because if it deals with what subjects? I can't read that. What's that? 1 minute. Thank you, fingers. Okay, if it deals with health, safety, or environment, economic well-being, or a good product or service in the marketplace, I mean, how broad is that? I think everybody here probably could fit under about, well, every category. The Coleman case, really quickly, was a defamation case, not a trade secret case, but a defamation case would set the bar. The leak came out in May, Coleman came out in January. Coleman states by the Texas Supreme Court that if in this case, Mr. Coleman said, you are defaming the ExxonMobil pipeline company, by what you did, what you investigated, what you talked about with each other, and the company said, oh, no, you may not bring us a defamation case against us. Because if you do, you're violating what? We all know now, TCPA. They got the case kicked on the basis of the words in the statute. They got it kicked out on the words in the statute. The court said it says what it says. And therefore, we go to Elite and trade secrets and the problems there. All right, I'm going to skip over this and go right to the meat and potatoes. Last thing here. We've gone through sharks. We've gone through gorillas. We're now at the alligator pit. Upset at you for breaching a non-compete? Of course not. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Energy Law Roundup. If you would like additional information about anything from today's episode, you can contact Tom at 210-446-6999 or by email at tom@charlone.net. New episodes of this podcast are available every week on the web at www.energylawroundup.com, your one-stop source for breaking news and developments in energy law.